Okay, good morning. We left off with Hilchos Ishus Perek Zayin, and we're going to continue with some of the themes that were discussed yesterday, specifically how acts of Kiddushin are done with conditions, although in this parak will focus more on the Almanas conditions. If you recall, a Tanai has four requirements to be a sufficient Tanai, or four things you can't do. Whereas an almanas is a little, which means literally on condition, is a little more flexible. And we'll see some cases in the beginning that have a little bit of familiarity. They're like almanas with options. It could be A or B. Then there's going to be some more challenging halachas to get through, certainly as they seem to be very bizarre in their formulation. And then the Rambam, after those bizarre ones, will continue back towards more classic financial cases of Kiddushin. Okay, so he says like this. In Halacha Aleph, he says, Ha'omer le'isha hariya mekudeshes li, al menas she'yirtze avi. Okay, so what does the guy do? He says to her, listen, I'm going to marry you on condition that my father, right, will consent to such a marriage. Ratza ha'av, mekudeshes, lo ratza, o she'shasak, o she'meis, kodem she'yishma ha'davar, ena mekudeshes. So, because he put in this condition, if the father is on board, the kiddushin is good. However, let's say, obviously, if he doesn't want to, but also if he didn't say anything, or if he died prior to ever hearing this condition, this almanas, then the marriage is no good. Let's say he says, almanas shelo yimcha avi. Let's say he says the negative side of this type of condition, which is, I'm married to you on condition that my father is not opposed to such a marriage. Shama umicha ina mikudeshes. Okay, let's say he does hear, and he obviously objects to it, the condition won't be good. Lo micha, if he didn't object, o shemeis, harizim mekudeshes. But if he didn't object to it, then this almanas is fulfilled and the kedushin is good. Now meis haben, okay. Now let's say in this situation, the son dies. Meaning this is the bachelor proposing, so to speak, to the woman. He dies, but he made the almanas condition before he died to the girl. Ve'acharkach shama av, okay. And then afterwards, the father finds out. Right. So what we say to the father is, we instruct him to say, listen, you were opposed to this. We kind of nudge him to say, you were opposed to this potential kiddushin. Why? To ensure that there never was a kiddushin that took place. And therefore, by not having kiddushin took place, the halachas of yibum wouldn't apply. So again, in this situation where the individual died after he had this almanas kedushin for his, let's say, his father's either accepting or refusing it, and the person dies. So then we go to the father and say, listen, please do not vocally say that you're opposed to the kedushin, because we don't want to say retroactively there was a good kedushin, because if that was the case, then she's chayef to do yibum, and that just makes things very, very messy. Halacha beis. Now let's say he says to the woman, Omer l'isha hariyat mekudeshes li bezeh. Okay. So we're going to a couple cases now that are very similar, but he says to her, I'm marrying you with this, okay? Almanas sheishli masayim zuz, or base kur afar. She says, listen, there's two possible things I'm going to marry you with. Either one possibility or one condition is I actually have in my bank account $500, or the other possibility is that I have an area of land where you can grow. Let's put it, to make it simple, let's say you can grow an acre of wheat, okay? Im yesham edim sheyeshlo, if there are witnesses present when he says this, and they know he has that field, or he has the $500 in the bank, harezim mekudeshes, and it's a good kiddushin. Ve'im einlo, let's say there are no witnesses, harezim mekudeshes misafek. So now we have a kiddushin misafek, why? Shema yeshlo. Right, who Omer ainly kedela kakala, right? Because it could be that he does actually own them outright, and he was kind of using this language, right, to basically be a pain in the butt. And by doing so, he knew that it was going to be more of a tircha. He's not such a nice person. So it's a kedusha misafik. Again, ultimately, you don't really know if he has these things. Okay, now in Halacha Gimel, you'll see how it's fleshed out. Hare mekudeshes li bezeh, similar to beginning. He says, "I'm going to marry you with this." Almanas sheishli masayim zuz. O base kur afar b'makom ploni. Let's say he says, I'm going to marry you either on condition that I have $500 in my bank account, or that I own this choice piece of land in New York City. Okay. Im yeshlo ba'oso makam reizim mekadeshes. If it turns out, which we could look up pretty easily, that he does own the real estate in New York City, it's a good kedushin. Vim ein lo ba'oso makam. But let's say it turns out he doesn't have a choice piece of real estate in New York City, right? Sh'amar ha'reizim mekadeshes misafek shema yeshlo sham v'hu miskaven lekalkala. So let's say he doesn't actually have it. Let's say he doesn't have those things that he claimed he had in that place. Okay. I apologize. The real estate's not a good example. More that he has he has the real estate, but he has stuff that grows on there. Okay. If it's possible, it's possible to say that he doesn't possess these things that he claims he does. Okay. It produces a kedusha misafik because it's possible that he does actually own those things. Let's say he has the $500. And again, he's doing this to really give her a hard time. So that's the second possibility of a kedusha misafik. And the third one is this one, halacha dalet. Hariya mukudeshes li bezeh, almanas she'erech masayim zuz, o beis kor afar. So in this case, he says to her, I'm going to marry you on condition that either I will show you my $500 that I have in my bank account, or I will show you this piece of real estate that I'm growing, crops on. Harezi mukudeshes v'yirena. Okay. So when he goes ahead and shows her these things, okay, either one or the other, then it's a good kedushin. Hera hazuzim biyad acherim. Okay, so let's say he shows her $500 that's in the hands of others. Oh, shehera beis kor afar besad acherim, or he shows her this choice piece of land, right, that actually is in others' possession. Enem mekudeshes ad shirena mishala. So it has to. The point that Raman's making is it has to be clear in these cases that it really belongs to him. So if he, it's easy for him to say, yeah, I own that that $500 is mine, but it's in that person's hands. That's not his, so the kedushin wouldn't be fulfilled. Lokach hamaos b'malve o b'shutfus o shesachar sade o lokacha o lacha barisus. Okay, so let's say if it turns out he was borrowing the money, or he was in some sort of partnership agreement, or renting the field, meaning there's some ownership here, vehera, and he does show her. Still, ena mikudeshes achirena mishalo. It has to be exclusively his. Shemashma she'erech, right? Because when he says, I will show you, she'erech she'imi le'atzmi davarzesh armartilach, that it means that I'm going to show you the thing that belongs to me, right? That I have exclusive ownership from. So even if he has some percentage of ownership in the object, because he blurted out, so to speak, that he wanted to show her, I will show you what it is. So that's what, that implies an exclusive type of ownership. Okay, alacha hey. Now, hayalo by a base kur afar. V'hayabo nikaim amukim asara tvachim, o slaim gevoim asara tvachim. So let's say it turns out he does own a piece of land which is fit to grow whatever, let's say clementine trees, okay? But in that piece of land, he has either like holes in the ground that are 10 tvachim or more, or he has large rocks, okay? Rocks that are taller than asara tvachim, they're taller than 10 tvachim. Im hayu hanikaim leim mayim. So if the divots in the ground were filled with water, Hare hein kislaim, they're considered like rocks. Ein nibdadin imo, okay, and then they wouldn't be counted with it. Now, what is he talking about? Counting with it? So I was trying to ignore this aspect of the halacha, but now it's important to recognize it. When he says beis kor afar, he's not just talking about a piece of real estate where he's growing crops. He's talking about a specific amount, okay? Meaning he's saying I have 1 acre, and let's say I have five rows of crops growing there, okay. So when it comes to measure the accuracy of that statement, you have to figure out the size of the base core offer he's talking about. So in the dud and emo, we wouldn't count, for instance, the in this field he's talking about, we wouldn't count the ditches in the ground, right? Nesha ain ruin lizria, because you can't grow let's say clementine trees with these divots in the ground. But let's say these holes are not filled with water. So we would count that towards this total amount of land, this total acre that he said to her that is there to grow these five rows of clementine trees. Okay. Halacha vav, switching a little bit. Ha'omer le'isha hareya mikudeshes li bazeh amanash in alech nidarim. Let's say he says to her, listen, I'm going to marry you. On what condition? On condition that you have no present nedarim on file, okay? You are a neder-free person. Now, it turns out, v'nimsa le'a echad mishloshen nedarim elu. But let's say it turns out, okay, that she did have one of these three nedarim, shelo sochal basar, o shelo tishtayayin, o shelo tiskashet b'minei tzvoin, ina mekudeshes, okay? So if she is bound by these three, any one of these three nedarim, which is either neder not to eat meat, or neder not to drink wine, or neder not to to wear nice clothes, okay, the kedushin wouldn't be good. Okay, and basically the reason why is that the amount of pain that she would have by withdrawing from these areas would be so severe, the kedushin wouldn't be chal. Nimsa leah neder chutz me'ilu, but let's say she did have a neder outside of these three possible ones. Afa pishu omer makbid ani afilu alzeh harizim mukadeshes. Okay, now even what do you call it? Even if he says, listen, I against these specific ones, it would still be a good kedushin. Vim amar la amanash ein alayach kol neder. Okay, and if he says to her on condition that you don't have any neder, afilu nimse shenadra shlo sokal haruvin ein mukadeshes. Okay, and if it turns out that she's if he says to her that what do you call it? That you're not bound by any possible neder, not just by neder, but any neder at all, okay? And we find out she made basically the most insignificant neder possible, not to eat carobs, okay? It would not be a good kedushin. The kedushin would not be good in that situation. So now, and again, in Halacha Vav, the question is the level of specificity in either talking about when it comes to gross nedarim, right, versus specific saying no possible neder at all. Okay, Halacha Zayin is a tough halacha, to be honest. You know, this is, certainly this doesn't apply today. We will go through this halacha and, do what we have to do with it. So halacha zayin is, harei ha-mekudeshes li bazeh amanas she'ein bach mumen. So he says to her, I am marrying you on condition that you do not have any mums at all. No physical blemishes. Now, before we get too ahead of ourselves, there's, as you'll soon see, the only precedent we have for mum in halacha is going to be korbanos and kohanim. Okay, so as you'll soon see, that's the system it's going to turn to. So if the guy said to her, "Listen, I'm going to marry you, right, on condition that you have none of these mumen," okay, the nimsaba echa min a mumen ha poslin benashim ena mekudeshes, and it turns out that she has a mum. And in these days of halacha, there was an idea that there was certain mumen that if a woman had, she's basically not going to get married as a result of the mum. Ena mekudeshes. Okay, then it wouldn't be a good kedushin. So again, just to be clear, so what the guy says to her is, I'm marrying you on condition that you don't have any physical defects, which we'll get to what those are in a second. And it turns out she has one of those, and the ones that she has are the ones that halacha recognizes that normally speaking would, I don't want to say prevent her from being married, but would say make it very unlikely. Ena mekudeshes. Okay, nimsa bamum acher chutz meosa mumen. Okay, but let's say he found a mum that's not one of the ones that are listed in halacha. Afa pi she'amar makbid ani afilu azeh harizim mekudeshes. Even if he said, "Listen, I'm makbid even on this kind of mum." Remember, he wasn't specific about the mum. He just said no mumen, and it turns out he found a mum. Let's say I don't know what he called. She had an extra finger. Okay. So even if you want to say, listen, I'm makbid about that. I'm not attracted to a woman who has six fingers. It's still considered a good kedushin. Now, umahein hamumen haposlim benashim. So what are these mumims? What are the mums that, possible woman, from normally speaking, from getting married? So kol mumen haposlim kohanim, poslim benashim. So any mum that applies to a kohen, my bias is on the table. I'm a Kohen, so I'm acutely aware of these mumen. Any of these mumen that exist by a Kohen will exist by a woman. But of course, v'o hilchos bios hamikdash, we've got a ways to go. It's only in hilchos bios hamikdash that the Rambam is going to explain yizbaru kol mumei kohanim. So we have to put aside all the fun, which there's a lot of them, all the fun physical blemishes and problems, so to speak, in appearance that a Kohen could have that basically prevents him from working in the base of mikdash. Those same ones apply to women, but he's not done. The yes are alayan, but there are other ones that are included. So fasten your seatbelts. First one is yes are alayan benasha. Okay, there's more that apply to women that wouldn't apply to kohanim. The first one is reach ra. Okay, she smells bad. The second one is zea. She sweats a lot. Reach hapeh. She has terrible breath. The kol aveh. She's a very very deep voice. We saw this before that when it came to discerning whether, for instance, back then they believed if a woman had a very deep voice, so that would have issues insofar as her ability to give birth. Okay, v'dadin gusin mechavruseya tefa. Okay, this is an interesting one. This is where she basically has breasts that are an abnormal size, And what's that determination, right? Well, one of them is that they're larger than from one another a tefach size, the tefach bein dad ladad, and also between the two that there's a tefach or more between two of them. Nishichas kelev, okay, that refers to a situation where she was bit by a dog. The nasa makom tzalekes, and in the place that she was bit by a dog, there's a scar. And then there's the Yishuma, which we saw before. That's the mole, okay? Sha'al ha-padachas, okay? So that's basically saying there's like a mole or some type of mark that's on her head, okay? The front part of her head. Afilu ha'isa katana biyoser, even if it's very, very small. Afilu krova mesea rosha, even if it's very near where her hair starts. Afilu she'en baser, even if there's no hair coming out of the mole itself. V'zui asuma she'yisera isha ala kohana. Okay, and this is the actual a mole type thing that the woman has that applies more to the woman than it would be to the kohana. Aval im ha'isa suma she'yish ba'sear bishar upon him. But if she had this birthmark or mole somewhere else on her face, right? O shuma gadola ki'isar, or if it was actually quite large, af b'she'en ba'sear, and there's no hair in it. Harezem mum ben kohana ben banashim. That's considered a mum whether it's you're a kohen or a woman. So when it comes to, and when we get to the Hilchos B'Es HaMikdash way down the road, we'll get into the nature of the mumma by the Kohanim. But suffice to say that these types of physical birthmarks and moles were considered certainly back then to be very obvious defects, so to speak, and therefore create psulim, whether it's a Kohen or a woman from getting married. Okay, Lach HaChas. Now, HaMekadesh Isha Stam, okay, let's say a man marries a woman normally, okay? It's our first normal case. V'nimsaba echa mina mumana posla minashim, okay? But it turns out, after he gets married to her, he discovers that she has she smells really bad all the time. Oh, nimsalea echa mishlosha nedarim. Or he found out that she had made one of those three nedarim. Remember, the three nedarim, either she made a neder of no eating meats, no drinking wine, or never to wear, you know, nice clothing or jewelry. Harezu mikudeshes misafik. So this actually is a kedushin misafik, which is a very, very, again, today we don't really deal with it, but it's a very interesting thing let the nadarim part even more interesting. If you had a woman, let's say she was a vegetarian, it becomes a very interesting question whether the idea of kedushin misafik would apply. Kitcha, I'm not saying vegetarianism is necessarily a neder, I'm saying, but if she put it in neder form, that could be a halachic question. Kitcha al menash ein alei nadarim, okay? Let's say he marries her on condition that she has no nedarim. V'hayu aleha nedarim, right? And it turns out she did have nedarim, right? V'halcha, remember, it's not neder, but nedarim. V'halcha itzel chacham, v'etr la harezim kadeshes. And then what happens? She goes to a talmud chacham, who goes ahead and matirs her, basically releases her from these nedarim. That would be considered a good kiddushin. Okay, lach hates. Kitcha al menash ein ba mumin. Okay, let's say he marries her on condition that she has no mumen at all. The hayuba mumen. Okay. And turns out she does have a mum. Okay. But what does she do? The halcha itzel rofe. She goes to the doctor. The ripa osa. And what happens? The doctor fixes it. The doctor does some type of plastic surgery to fix the mum. Eina mikudeshes. It's an interesting thing. The kedushin is not good. Aval im hisna ha'ish she'ena le'alav nadarm. Let's say, Let's say, he makes a tanai in marrying her that he doesn't have any nadarim, vishain bo mumin, and he doesn't have any physical problems, v'hayu olav nadarim, v'hayu bo mumin, but it turns out he has his nadarim, or he has a long list of mumin, v'halach etzel chacham v'itiro, etzel rofa ripo, and he goes and either, if it's a neder guy, he takes care of the nadarim, or if it's the physical blemish guy, he takes care of it through plastic surgery, harezim mikudeshes, it would be considered a good kiddushin. Why? She'ein le'ish genai b'mumin she'kvar nirapu. Okay? V'ena'isha makpedes lazos. So the reason why is that a man, according to the Rambam, a male has very, very little shame in these physical blemishes that he was insecure about that now have been fixed through plastic surgery. I'm being a little 21st century here. And the woman, she's not so, she won't be so bothered by that. She's willing to tolerate a husband who went ahead and had this physical defect and got it fixed through plastic surgery. Okay. Halacha yud. Okay, now switching gears again. Ha'omer le'isha ha'rea mekudeshes li bezeh al-manash eten lech masayim zuz mikan v'ad shloshim yom. All right, so we're getting back to these time cases where he says to her, I'm marrying you on condition that I will give you 200 zuz, okay, from now, okay, within up to 30 days, okay, as long as he gives the 200 zuz to her within those 30 days, mikudeshes, vim avru ha-shloshim yom, v'lo nasan eina mikudeshes. But if 30 days went by and he never gave her the masayim zuz, let's say the 500 bucks, it's no good. Now, what makes this different is he says to her, you're going to be married to me with these coins, up to 30 days. Now, what's interesting is that even if he ended up, let's say she ended up using the money. She used the money within that 30-day period of time. After 30 days goes up, they're married. But let's say they either one of them decide to change their mind within the 30 days. So if either one of them changed their mind within the 30 days, then they can nullify the kedushin. The kedushin never took place. Now, lachid aleph. Now, let's say in this 30-day scenario, basheni v'kitcha. Let's say within that 30-day period of time, remember, she hasn't taken the zuz hasn't been given to her yet. The 500 bucks isn't in her hands. It's still within that 30-day period of time. And another person comes along and marries her within that 30-day period of time. Harezem mikudesh sheni la'olam. She is married to that second guy. Lefi shebesha shekitcha sheni lo haisa mikudeshes. Okay? Because when she married the second guy, she wasn't married at that point. V'tafsuba kidushe sheni. And the kiddushin of the second person is chal, okay, is extant. The nases ashes ish, okay. And now what's amazing is that she's now married to him. Ulacha shloshim yom kishiavo kiddushay rishon yimsu osa ashes ish. And then after 30 days, if bachelor number one came along and tried to go ahead and fulfill the kiddushin, she's married. V'nimsa rishon kimisha kiddush ashes ish. And now it's as if the first guy tried to marry a married woman. She'ena kedushin tosumba, because kedushin wouldn't work in that situation. So one more time, if he decides to marry her, and if he proposes to her and says, "Listen, I'm married to you on condition that I give you 500 bucks at the end of 30 days, within this 30-day period of time," and then a second guy comes along, let's say 10 days later, he goes ahead and marries her. So what halacha says is that she's married to the second guy. And then after 30 days, right, let's say she had the zuz and now it's consecrated. But at the end of the day, what we would say is the kedushin is now being chal on somebody who's already married. And the halacha is that kedushin never works in a situation where the person is already married. It has no effect on the present relationship that the woman is in. Okay, halacha yud beis, we'll do a couple more. Ha'omer le'isha, if he says to a woman, harei mekudeshes li me'achshav, ula achar shloshim yom bedin arzeh. Let's say he says to her, you're married to me from now, okay, meaning this time and after 30 days with this coin. Uba acher v'kitcha besocha shloshim yom. Someone else comes along and marries her within that 30-day period of time. Remember, what he said here is two things. He said, me'achshav, from now, and after 30 days. So he set up two, I'd say, almost mutually exclusive times. If someone comes along as mekadesh her within that 30-day period of time, harezim mekadeshes misafek l'shneim. She's in a very bad spot here. She's now married to both misafek. Lefikach shneim nosin get bein besocha shloshim yom bein la'achar shloshim yom. So what has to happen now? Both of these safek husbands must now give her a get. Hareya mekudeshes li me'achshav u'la'achar shloshim yom. Same case. He says, I'm married to you from this time on or after 30 days. Uba acher v'amr la hareya mekudeshes li me'achshav u'la'achar eshrim yom. Second bachelor comes along and says, I'm married to you from now and after 20 days. And then the third bachelor comes along and says, and after 10 days, even if it's 100 men, one after the other who does this, meaning but less and less time between each one, kidushe kulon tovsimba. Okay, she's now in some way married to all of them. So that's how far the Rambam's willing to go with this halacha, to the point where she's literally married b'safek to each one of these men, and therefore each one of them has to give her a get. Okay, well, last one, halacha gimel. Ha'omer le'isha hareyat mikudeshes li chutz miploni. Okay, this is always a fun one. He says to her that you're married to me, okay, and these kedushin that I'm saying, okay, apply to everyone else except for that guy and that guy and that guy. Okay, Kolomar, So what is he really saying? Shaloti asar love. Okay. What he's really saying to her, is that she shouldn't be asar to him. Elatia aishas ish al kol olam. Rather, what should she be? She should be an aishas ish to everyone, married to everyone in the world. Uloploni kipnuya harezu mikudeshes bisafek. But to him, she should be an aishas ish. But to everyone else in the world, she should be considered actually pinuya. Okay, harezu mikudeshes bisafek. It's kedusha misafek. Avaim amar la harei mikudeshes li amnas shetihi mutaris leploni. But let's see, she says, and this is an interesting one. Again, it's also like a bit of a paradox. He says, I'm married to you on condition that you'll be permitted to that guy. Okay, harezu mikudeshes. Then it would be a good kedushin. Betia asura al osoploni kishar am. And she would therefore, she is actually usher to that other guy that he stipulated she should be mutter to. Kishar am, like everyone else. Nesha hista bedabash yevshar lekaima. Because, if you recall, he put a tanai in here that it's impossible to go ahead and fulfill. Because she can't be both an aishas ish and mutter to that other guy. Those statuses are, by definition, contradictory.